Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Rough one. By the way, Phil's lost last night. Ranger around 100 pitches or something through five innings. Phil's lose.
We should be concerned about Ranger.
I would agree with that.
There's something where he is so un-Rangery right now.
Yeah, it's not good.
The thing that you knew you'd get from him was confidence, commitment on his pitches. And you never saw him shaking pitches off. You know, it was always like, ready to go. You know, like,
yes, some John, yes, if you watch that game after the Eagles game last night, God bless you. Okay?
I was trying to go back and forth.
If you did that.
I had that in the kitchen. I had the Eagles in the family room.
All right. So let me get to one more thing, and then we're going to get a report on A.J. Brown and, you know, hamstrings and how that stuff goes. So Dave Zingaro tweeted after the game last night when Josh Sweat was talking to reporters. The Josh Sweat said the following. This is one of those, like, what is going on with this quote comments? All right. Sweat said on the Eagles pass rush, he said, he's asked what's going on. He said, I don't know. We're not on the same page, man. We got to be together. Ain't on the same page. That's all I can say. We're just not rushing together. Now, the only thing about rushing together that would kind of make sense there is if he's referring to, like, stunts and they're just not timing it upright and guys aren't, you know.
Sense.
And that's probably what he's saying. I guess.
That makes a lot of sense.
And then
you got to time the stunts up in order for everything to work. And they're not, this early in the season, they haven't had the reps and the full speed reps.
Seltzer, can I hold out hope that they actually get better when they, what is it called, get on the same page? Or do they just stink?
Oh, yeah, I think a player talking out about how they're not on the same page after the second game is absolutely a sign they'll get it together. We'll be fine.
Oh, my
God. It's
all good.
Everything's great.
Oh, my Lord. All right.
Get a new book.
Oh, man. 215-592-949. I shouldn't laugh. I really shouldn't because, look, again, the only reason that loss didn't hurt me a little bit more was I was convinced watching the game the Eagles just aren't that good. I'm being honest with you. I was prepared even when I thought they were about to win.
You were gut-checked at the end of that game.
I was, but I wasn't, like, to the point of death.
Oh.
No, I'm just telling you.
Okay, they're somewhere in between. No, I'm not saying death, right. But I'm saying that was brutal.
Rhea. I agree it was brutal. But, Reed, tell me if you agree or disagree with this statement. The Eagles are an average team. True or false?
With A.J. Brown, I think they're a little above average.
Okay.
False!
Yeah.
They're not
an average team.
I don't know about that, man.
Come on, man. Seriously?
I see a lot
this
wrong.
This roster looks average to you?
There's a lot.
This roster is not average.
We'll see.
This roster is top of the heap.
I'll tell you this right now, and I rarely do this on a Tuesday. I'm picking New Orleans, 1-2. I hope I'm wrong. Here's all I'll say to that general thing.
Like, we just saw 9 underdogs win outright this past week.
No,
there's a lot of ebb and flow, especially the first month of NFL seasons now.
I know. Believe me, I know. All right. Let's talk about the A.J. Brown situation. We heard the report from Lisa Salters during the game that A.J. told her that he's going to miss multiple weeks. For more on this and hamstrings and what it all could be, let's get a NovaCare rehabilitation injury report here with Dr. Damon Green, an orthopedic surgeon with Shure Orthopedic University Associates, a division of Ortho New Jersey in Galloway, Summers Point, and Cape May Courthouse. And Dr. Green joins us right now. Dr. Green, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Well, good in the good morning is not accurate, but bad morning to you, Dr. Green. All right, Eagles lost. So let's get to it here. The hamstring sounds like it's going to be multiple weeks. What does that mean from a severity standpoint? If an athlete's telling a reporter multiple weeks, what in your opinion does that entail?
Well, let's start at the beginning. There's four muscles of the hamstring, and they all form together to make up that muscle body. There are a couple different grades of hamstring tears. There's three. So one is just a little bit of swelling in the muscle. Two is swelling plus disruption of about half of one of those muscle bellies, or a little bit less than half of one of those muscle bellies. And a grade three is more than half that muscle has been disrupted in the injury. In A.J. Brown's case, he's had prior hamstring injuries in 2019 and 2021, I believe. And he only missed, I think, one game in 2021. So if he's telling us that it's, you know, a couple of weeks or a couple of games, that would suggest that it's either a grade two or, you know, closer to a grade three, which could mean, you know, 3 to 4 week recovery time.
So what does that look like, the rehab for a grade two or grade three in the time being? What does his rehab look like? How can he speed up his return?
Well, one of the ways they can speed up the return is in NFL players specifically, they have done studies that show PRP injections or platelet-rich plasma injections can help speed particularly NFL or these elite athletes' recovery to get them back on the field faster. So that is one option that he has. A lot of it is just gentle stretching, a lot of icing, and a gentle, gradual ramp up to his full sprinting potential. So starting usually around 50% and then working your way up incrementally every day or every other day or so.
Doc, do a lot of teams do this PRP injection for a hamstring strain? Because when I was playing, no one was doing PRP injections.
Well, I don't think it existed back then.
Well, it did, but it was like in Europe. They're doing stuff, and I think it was probably illegal in the U.S. So this stuff, how commonplace is it?
It's very common. When I was one of the fellows at the Saints, with the Saints, we did at least five or six in that season that I was there.
Wow.
So it's very common, and it does. It works. It gets them back on the field quicker.
That's incredible.
For the lower grade tears. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
So, Doc, let's talk about the possibility of him playing sooner than he's 100%. How risky? I'm just going to make up some numbers here. 90% healed, 70% healed. How risky is it if he were to come back before he's 100% that it could be a bigger issue down the line if he plays and injures it further?
You're probably talking about an 80 to 90% risk. 10% risk that he injures it further, right? So 80 to 90%, he would be fine. But that also depends on him, right? His whole thing is he's fast, right? You have to stop him from, you know where he's going to go. You just have to stop him, you know, from getting there, right? So for him, you know, he'd probably have about a 10 to 15% chance that he could injure it further and then be out even longer, depending on the severity of his current injury.
Yeah, I tend to think they'll be careful with him. Dr. Green, again, is specializing in sports medicine and cartilage surgery. And for more information about Dr. Green, go to SureOrthopedic.com. That's SureOrthopedic.com. NovaCare Rehabilitation Injury Report, as we do every single, normally Monday, in this case Tuesday after Monday night game. Doc, we appreciate you joining the program today. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a wonderful afternoon.
You got it, buddy. You got it. I think the afternoon will be better than the morning, but I don't know, man. Morning's pretty bad. The night was bad. The morning's bad, and I can't imagine this frown is going to truly be turned upside down 5 hours from now, but we will tell at that point. 215-592-9494. Coming up, the Bat of the Bone Award, our version of Blame Balls. Who to blame? All right, well, it's a busy show and obviously a bad Tuesday morning. Great to be with you, but we wish with the 2-0 football team. Joe DeCamera, John Ritchie, 94 WIP. Let me tell you what's on tap here today, in addition to all the calls. A lot of notable guests. Ron Jaworski will join us in about 5 to 10 minutes. Brandon Graham will join us in studio at 7:40. He'll be fielding your phone calls. 8:30, we'll talk to Ray Dittinger. 9 o'clock, we'll talk to Seth Joyner. Typically, Ray and Seth will join us the day after. Well, always, Ray and Seth will talk to us the day after an Eagles game. We just happen to move some stuff around with it being a Tuesday instead of a Monday. But ordinarily, Ray in the 7 o'clock hour and Seth at 9 o'clock. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's just line up the three, and there were a bunch of killer plays, but let's just line up 1, 2, 3, the three killer plays at the end of the game that stood out the most. We'll just go in sequential order. We'll start with Saquon Barkley's drop.
Hurts into a long count. He is rolling. He throws the football, and it's dropped! He put it into the hands of Barkley on the near sideline, and He dropped it.
That's a pretty sure play. I like the play call here. Everything is there except the catching of the football, Saquon Barkley.
I know a lot of people have a problem with the play call. I'm not one of them. Obviously, Mike wasn't one of them. If Saquon catches the ball, the game is over. I would trust that again. He just dropped the ball. But I know a lot of people don't accept that, and that's fine. Everyone can have their opinion. Let's get to after the Eagles kicked a field goal, and that was a...
I can't imagine him ever doing that again.
Well, like, in 100 times, it might happen twice, maybe.
But I feel like the that happened. That it has one... happened now in the second game
brutal.
Of the season.
Brutal.
It's it hurts, but it feels like he's going to be so locked in on.
He's a great player.
He's probably going to take 100 extra flat routes after practice now for the next month, which will serve him well. Like, I like that conscientiousness. His teammates are going to see that.
He's a great player. He made a huge mistake.
Yes.
I mean, there's nothing else
it's
to say about it.
It's just a shame.
All right, so now let's get to after the Eagles kick a field goal, and that was a decision that could go either way. It's tempting to go for fourth down and just try to end the game there. They kicked a field goal. I was also okay with that, but the defense obviously let the birds down. The Falcons get down the field quickly. Let's get to the touchdown against Darius Slay.
Here it is, third and five. Cousins back. Cousins looking. Puts it in the air. Touchdown.
Right.
He's got it to London in the corner of the end zone.
Right in front of Slay.
34 seconds left. 21-21.
Darius Slay got cooked on the play. Let's actually listen to Darius Slay postgame because he commented on that play. I appreciate he, like Saquon, taking ownership. Here's Slay after the game.
See the way they went down the field there at the end?
Oh, very disappointed. Definitely with myself at the end of that game. Yeah, I'm hurt with that one, man. That's my dad. Last play for sure, my fault. Eyes in the backfield. Just trying to do more than I should have been doing.
All right, there were two nails in the coffin. The one that obviously was the final nail in the coffin. Let's get to the interception. I get Jalen feeling he's got to start putting the ball down the field, but I thought he got a little too panicky here. There was still time. You still had a timeout, and you weren't that far from Jake Elliott field goal range. Here's Hurts with the interception that ended it.
Is back. Hurts looking, stepping up. He is letting it fly. He is looking for Devontae Smith, and it is intercepted.
Game over.
Game over. An absolutely heartbreaking loss. Absolutely heartbreaking as Jesse Bates intercepts it. Hurts was hit as he was throwing.
Look, it's a brutal loss. 1-1, should have been 2-0. 215-592-9494. As I said at the start of the show, and I'll say it again, my headline from last night, what stood out to me the most, not that the Eagles lost, not that they blew a game they should have won, in my opinion, now you may agree, you may disagree, in my opinion, the Eagles to me look very ordinary. They look average. I hope I'm wrong. That's what I say. Let's go to the phones. Charles
they played pretty average a lot of the time.
Yeah, they did.
And that does not mean that they are an average team.
No, but
team.
They might
this
be, John.
Roster is they, not an average roster. They better start playing above what they put out
tell
there
me if
last
you can
night.
Disagree with this.
Because
tell me if,
this is, no. Right now, they are underperforming.
Tell me if you agree with this, John. The people that said in July and August, and it wasn't a huge percentage, but there were some, this is a 14-3 or 13-4 team. Totally wrong. Right?
You can't say that.
Nah, totally wrong.
Okay.
They don't have that. They don't
the
have
team that.
That
how do you know?
Because I will.
When I got here in 2003.
Yep. Better team.
That team. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
the first
team.
Two games, what did we do? We lost.
I know you did.
0-2. Right out the gates. We went to the NFC Championship game. I think we had 12 or 13 wins.
You were 12-4 and you got crushed in the first two games and lost both of them.
You can turn things around. I've gone from a team that won the first four games of a season to lost four in a row. Imagine losing the first four games of the season the way everyone would count you out.
Yep.
Stop counting this team out. We need to stop making these blanket statements about what their identity is right now. I think they need to be a lot better. They know
they
need to be a lot better.
Yep.
Last night was a travesty and an outlier in a lot of senses that they are going to pick up the pieces from and improve on
in
a hurry.
That's what my eyes tell me. You hear what John's eyes tell him. What do you see? What do you think? 215-592-9494. Mike in Douglasville. Good morning, Mike.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, buddy. Mike?
Yeah, so John, what you just said, it's a travesty. Completely agree. When you say it's an outlier, as far as the defense is concerned, I do not think it's an outlier. Listen, I know I didn't call a lot over the summer, but
I'm worried that you might be right, Mike. Outlier, this pass rush is looking pitiful.
It is. I mean, it's non-existent. And don't get me wrong. I know you guys are going to have BG on here in a minute. I love BG. Get your damn hands down. Like, what are you doing grabbing face masks? I know it was spur of the moment.
Yeah, that one didn't. Mike, here's where that one didn't bother me as much. He's trying to make a play, and I'll kind of call it just bad luck that the hand goes there. I mean,
I know, but our only defensive
that doesn't bother me as no, Mike. Here's the thing: that doesn't bother me as much as Jordan Davis just not able to stop Bijan Robinson.
Absolutely,
you know,
explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos. Hard tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love. An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Or Jalen Hurts leaking the pocket for the 10th time in the first half last night. Like,
and I mean, even our secondary with, look, I love CJ GJ. I was so happy we signed him.
Yep.
And yeah, he had that huge stop on towards the end of the game, but two missed tackles for two touchdowns in two games. Come on, man. Like, can we? I get it. It's hard to go 100 miles an hour and flying around and everything like that, but can we make a freaking tackle when we absolutely need to?
Listen, Mike, like, it's a reasonable point. It is. Let's get to the Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin has the new 2025 Chevy Trax in stock now. Started at only $21,495. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. Today's poll question, who do you blame most for last night's loss? A lot of ways we could slice and dice this one up. These are the four groupings we've come up with or individuals. Who do you blame most for last night's loss? Is it A, coaching? There were notable decisions.
I voted 20 times on
for coaching. Yeah, the three big decisions, let me just say this before I continue with the poll. The three big decisions last night were to go for it or not on 4th and 4 in the first quarter, which they went for it and failed on, to throw the ball on 3rd and 3 to Saquon, which they threw it. Obviously, should have been caught, should have been the end of the game. And decision 3, to kick the field goal or not in the next play, Sirianni kicked a field goal. I was fine with that, but obviously the defense let him down. Those were the three big decisions. All right. But there's other stuff with coaching. I mean, there's how you're scheming it up offensively and defensively. So choice A last night, blame of coaching. Choice B, defensive line. Choice C, Saquon, the drop. Otherwise, he was really good. And choice D, Howie Roseman, his choices for who he selected defensively, from, you know, Jordan Davis to Nolan Smith to Bryce Hoff down the line. All right. Now, Ron Jaworski in a moment. James, let's do what we do normally the day after game. We love when it's game balls. We hate when it's blame balls. The bad of the bone award. All right, John, you get the first crack at the bad of the bone award. Not bad ass, but, you know, bad. That impacted last night's game. John, first vote. Who do you got?
Jordan Davis wasn't good enough. And I, again,
I was told this was entirely different, that he looked and played completely different. Why on earth was he out there for 29 snaps against a team that was running the ball down our throats last night?
Booker made more plays. I never heard of the guy before, and he made more plays. Seltzer, Bat of the Bone Award, who does it go to?
Yeah, you know, Jordan Davis at least tipped a ball up in the air. You know who literally was invisible? Bryce freaking Huff, who's making more money than anyone else they signed this offseason. And a travesty so far, this guy. And I was willing to give him a bit of a pass after the slick field. Like, he was invisible. He was falling down last night more than he was getting to the quarterback. Like, a disastrous signing so far.
James, you know who he's starting to remind me of?
Marcus Smith.
Marcus Smith.
Yeah, I had the same thought. Wow.
Marcus Smith. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be that bad.
Just looks like lost out there.
Looks overmatched. Rhea, blame ball. Who does it go to?
Kellen Moore, 100%. I hated his play calling on the first drive when Saquon Barkley wasn't featured. I hated it on the second drive when Saquon went 9-9-11, and then they bring in Kenny Gainwell. I know he needs a breather, but it's the second drive of the game, and then the pivotal 3rd and 3. The Atlanta Falcons had no timeouts.
So I got two really big names. Look, I'm going to go with Saquon because if you catch the ball, the game's over, and it's a shame. I think he's one of their four best players. But I can't have four names go around the room here and not say Saquon for dropping the ball. He catches it, the game's over. The other name I thought I was going to say, if one of you took Saquon, was Howie. His decisions defensively look disastrous.
And also, can we
not defensive backfield, but up front.
Can we mention a name that we haven't said yet today, but you traded a 3rd-round pick for Jahan Dotson? Like, really? Really? One catch? One target?
I mean, Covey was much better.
Brutal.
Yeah, no, he was.
I don't know that Covey is much better.
I didn't say he was last night.
Yeah, I don't think he's more talented or anything, but he was involved.
He was certainly more effective.
Was nothing.
They
for
clearly
like
had
2 yards
a
pass
for Britton Covey last night, where it's like, okay, he's more than a special teamer tonight. We're going to get him involved.
Yeah.
But I don't like that.
No.
It felt like it was a reversion to the days where Nick Sirianni was, you know, conceptualizing the way we throw the football. Remember the bubble screens galore?
Yeah.
That's what it looked
hated
like. Britton Covey, we're going to bubble screen you to death and you're going to gain 0.5 yards every time you touch it.
All right, Ron Jaworski joins us in 1 minute. Jaws, in 1 minute on the fiasco at the end of last night. Hey, let me tell you about Family Company Jewelers on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey. South Jersey's diamond destination, your trusted jeweler for quality service and price. You know, you can choose from the largest selection of engagement rings in the area, or you can have their master jewelers create a custom one-of-a-kind ring just for your special day. Guys, let me make it real simple. If you are thinking of proposing, if you're of that mindset to go purchase the ring, go to Family and Company Jewelers. They're sensational at what they do. Great rings, great prices, great people, experts that'll steer you in the right direction. They nail it all. Visit their showroom, which is something you got to see to believe it, an extravaganza of jewelry, or just start online at familyjewelers.com. You can shop online at familyjewelers.com, Family and Company Jewelers, South Jersey's diamond destination. Let's welcome the Eagles' longtime quarterback and, of course, great commentator, Mr. Ron Jaworski. Good morning, Jaws.
Gentlemen, not such a good morning, but great to be with you on a tough Tuesday morning after a rough Monday night.
Sure is. Jaws, can you believe it? I mean, it's been less than 12 hours since that game ended. Can you believe the Eagles lost?
No, I can't. And those are the losses that really linger. You know, there are losses and there are losses. This is one, obviously, for the next few days we're going to dissect and see why these things happen. But this is a loss that will hang with the players. They had this game flat out won. Should be 2-0 going to a tough stretch of the season to New Orleans and Tampa Bay. And now you're going 1-1 with two really tough games on the road.
Jaws, even when it looked like with 2 minutes left the Eagles were about to win a game, I felt I was seeing an average Eagles team. I'm curious, as you assess the big picture, do they look so-so to you, or do they look like a quality football team?
Well, they certainly didn't look like a quality football team. You know, there's no doubt of that. This team had so much money invested in the offensive side of the football, I thought they would run up and down the field. And for the most part, they did run up and down the field against that Atlanta defense, even without A.J. Brown. But you can see the impact of the big play just wasn't there with A.J. Brown not on the field. Jalen, I thought, played very, very well until he did an ill-advised interception late in the game. But right now, this team's got to get its momentum going. There were so many mistakes in play calling and decision-making. And I mean, you know, these bubble screens and smoke. How can we have three offensive linemen downfield? I mean, that shows like the team is ill-prepared and inept. And simple plays like that, they have penalties on plays that a high school team could run. And it's almost shocking to me to see those things happen.
Wow. So it sounds as though you're pointing the finger at the preparation to some degree. How well protected was Jalen?
I thought for the most part, very good. You know, Jalen, he'll wait. You know, his snap to release time or snap to sack time was in the first week was the slowest, you know, beside Justin Fields in the National Football League. So he's a guy that's going to stand back there and hold on to the football or move around and try to make a play. But that was not the problem. I thought the offense was good enough. You know, we can always question some decisions, but I thought the offense was good enough to win the game.
So who's most to blame for the loss, Jaws?
Well, hey, Saquon Barkley, that simply got to make that catch. And, I mean, he's a hell of a football player, but this one just got away from him. And, you know, I've looked at that play probably about 20 times already, not on the coach's tape, just on the TV tape. And you can see he kind of moved his head as the ball was coming to him. He just moved his head and lost vision on it. Or else the first down, and we're not talking about a loss. We're talking about an easy win.
Wow. Jaws, do you feel hope that the front four can pick it up, both stopping the run and getting to the quarterback? Or do you think they're in deep trouble this season with what they've got up there?
Man, after watching what Pittsburgh did to the, you know, last week, that Atlanta offensive line, I thought we would have a field day getting pressure on Kirk Cousins. We did not. I'm at a loss for words about this defensive line right now. You know, you're bringing guys like Huff, you start combining them with a number of other good players. The name that we mentioned for a sack was Mill Williams. You know, who would have thought he'd be the guy getting the sack? But, you know, when you look at, you know, Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter, I mean, Bryce Huff been non-existent, disappeared. You know, he invested $51 million in the guy. And he, you know, when they were running right at him. The runs were to the right side, and they were gashing him for 8-10 yards when they ran at him. He was getting hooked. Tight ends were blocking him. You know, I am very much concerned about that defensive line because – now, we all know we don't invest a lot of money in Philadelphia in linebackers, but now when you start getting offensive linemen up on linebackers, that's when you get the big plays.
And, Jaws, another one is Nolan Smith. I mean, it's like we don't even think about him because he doesn't even play that much. But, I mean, that was a first-round draft pick. I mean, that's killing him.
Any impact plays from the defensive line?
Yeah, it's not good, Jaws.
That game was won. I'm still in somewhat shocked to think that we lost that football game. I'm getting ready to do the post-game show, and, you know, hey, we got this thing all locked up, and all of a sudden, bang, 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 and the defense comes out there after, you know, we kick a field goal for a 6-point lead. It was like 7-on-7. There was no pass rush. Cousins had all kinds of time. Receivers were wide open. It was embarrassing.
Jaws, will this team get better at tackling as the season progresses because they'll get more practice by playing in games and trying to tackle in games?
Joe, they don't practice tackling anymore. You know, you don't do that at practice anymore. It's shorts and shells, and you know that's just the way it is. You don't practice tackling. I think the limited number of padded practices you can have throughout the season, so it's hard to get better as the season goes on when the only time you tackle is in the game.
Ron Jaworski with us as he is every Tuesday, typically 2 days after a game, but in this case right after the game last night. Jaws, I want to go through the three big decisions that have come under the microscope post-game and to a certain extent during the game, and I want to get your assessment one by one in the moment if you thought Sirianni got it right or wrong or Kellen Moore right or wrong, not based on the outcome, but based on what you thought before we knew the outcome. Here we go. Number one, first quarter, tie game. It's the second drive. Eagles have moved the ball down the field with Saquon running great. The Eagles have the ball at the Atlanta 9. It's a 4th-and-4. Sirianni elects to go for 4th down instead of kick the field goal. Now it turns into an incomplete pass to Goddard. Did you think he should have taken 3 or gone for 4th down?
Well, for me personally, you know, I think coaches make a decision before the game how they're going to play the game. Going to be aggressive, going to take the points. I am a big believer in early in the game taking points. I think when you score points and you run off the field to your sideline, you put something on the board. Now, hey, you might if you get, you know, aggressive and you get 7, you say, okay, we got 7. But I don't like the feeling of having a good drive to right down the field, end up with nothing, and that's what happened. And I think that has an effect on a team, particularly on that sideline. Where's the energy? And all of a sudden, you had a good drive, and you got 0 points.
All right, Charles,
I take the points.
All right, let's get to number 2. Now, this one's not quite the same. You can't assess it in the moment passing the ball because you don't know they're about to pass the ball. But The decision, 1:46 to go in the game. The Eagles are up three. It's 3rd and 3 at the Atlanta 10, and it turns into a pass to Saquon. A lot of people are saying you should have never passed the ball. I disagree with that. If he catches it, the game is over. Are you okay with the concept of passing the ball in that moment to Saquon Barkley?
Absolutely. I have no problem with the play call. He was wide open. You got to make that catch. It's that easy. I mean, he's a very good receiver. I mean, I know ESPN comes out during that game and throws some stats out that he would drop more passes over the last 4 years than any running back in the league. But, you know, we saw how he can catch the ball last week when he ran that Bo Odman gets a touchdown pass, and he can catch the football. He just dropped it. He flat-out dropped it. But I have no problem with throwing it there.
All right, Jaws, number three. It's the next decision. So after the drop, it's 4th down. There's 1:42 to go. Atlanta has no timeouts. You got the ball on the 10-yard line, and it's 4th and 3 from the 10. To kick a field goal or to go for it, which did you think Sirianni should have chosen?
Yeah, I'm okay with kicking a field goal. 6-point lead. They got to score a touchdown to beat us. Unfortunately, our defense just fell apart in the last drive. I have no problem with the decision, making it a 6-point lead and make him go the length of the field, make him go 70 yards against a defense that should have stopped him but didn't.
Jaws, I agree. One final thing, Jaws, and people probably aren't too in the mood to spin it ahead 5 days from now, but while we have you here, let's just talk Eagles New Orleans for one moment. You know, one of the concerns with last night is it might be a pathway to a 1-2 start because New Orleans looks really good. How good are they? How big is this challenge for the Eagles in 5 days?
Well, you know, I watched a game against the Dallas Cowboys, and their offense was unbelievable. They put, 49 in week one. They scored, 92 points or something in two games. Derek Carr wow. is a serviceable quarterback. Alvin Kamara is one of the best backs in the league. They have a rock-solid offensive line. These next two games are really – you're playing against two teams that are undefeated right now. No one saw the Saints 2-0 or the Buccaneers 2-0. Now we're going to go on the road at a tough time of the year. These are going to be two tough games.
These are two really smart quarterbacks, aren't they, Jaws? Like top of the heap in terms of knowing what to do, where to go with the football, understanding what a defense is trying to do to them.
You know, both veteran quarterbacks have had their ups and downs in their careers, but it shows, you know, how they've grown, they've gotten better. I'm thinking of Baker Mayfield. You know, he was a journeyman quarterback. You know, a couple years ago, he played on three teams in one season.
Wow.
Three teams in one season. Nobody wanted the guy. Look at how well he's playing right now. Derek Carr has been a guy that, you know, when he was out with the Raiders, was a guy that was going to be a superstar. It didn't work out for him there. But if you look at the Saints last year, second half of the season, they were coming on strong. So I'm not really surprised. These are veteran quarterbacks that are well-coached.
Jaws, listen, let's hope next week they're not 1-2 when we talk to you. That's a big game. Thanks for being
here. I do not want to talk about these losses. That one really, really hurt last night, gentlemen and ladies.
It did. I agree with you 1,000,000%. Jaws, stay well, buddy. Thanks, man.
All right. Thank you.
You got it, my man.